Hi, this is Charlene, your host for Soul Sciences, the place where your inner experience meets outer exploration, or your inner exploration meets outer experience. Thanks for joining today's program of Soul Sciences. Hello, listeners. Today I have with me a woman named Linda Strader. She's coming to us from Arizona, and Linda has the distinction of being one of the first female firefighters in the U.S. Linda, welcome to the show. I'm so excited that you've agreed to be on with us today here at Soul Sciences.
Well, thank you, Charlene. This is really an honor for me, too. This is my first, so I'm thrilled and excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited. That's a wonderful thing when I can be the first person that gives someone an audio presentation of their very important work. You've written a book. It's coming out in May, and the title is?
Summers of Fire, a memoir of adventure, love, and courage.
And this is based in your story of?
As one of the first women hired on a Forest Service fire crew in the mid-1970s. It's about my life at that time, and it does take me all the way to present time, not only just the adventures and the challenges of being a woman on a fire crew, but also the loves and the losses that I experienced during my career. It is not just for firefighters. In fact, I don't really think my audience will be firefighters. Everybody is going to find this, what I did, really interesting. I hope it's inspirational as well as eye-opening.
It sounds like all of the above, and I agree. This is not at all just for firefighters. In fact, I would say that it is specifically written for a more general audience, for the rest of us to know what it was like. And what decade was it, Linda, when you began firefighting?
It was 1976. And I did not know at the time that the Forest Service just started hiring women on fire crews. There'd been women in the past. You know, this is all stuff I find out later as I'm researching my book. There were earlier women, but the Forest Service did not specifically start hiring women on fire crews to fulfill minority quotas until the mid-1970s. So now that I look back, it's no wonder to me that the guys were looking at me like, huh, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
You can't do this. What are we going to do with a woman on the crew? I mean, it was, you know, they didn't know what to do with me. And I was just like, hey, I can do this work. But I had to prove that I could do that work.
Yeah, so true. You had to prove it. Did you do special physical building up of muscles to do this job?
Well, we were required to have, we had a fitness program that we did every day before work. We ran a couple miles and we did calisthenics. Fire crews don't do that. What we did back then. Back then, we didn't just sit around waiting for a fire. We had all kinds of projects to do, building fence, trail work. We stayed busy, and we used to swear, you know, why are we doing physical fitness? If we hike, you know, 10 miles to work trails, there's our physical fitness, you know?
For sure.
So a lot of our work kept us fit. So, yeah, but there was, you know, we did work out every day, and that was part of our job.
What drew you to enlist in such a very physically demanding and dangerous occupation?
I've written another book, and it's a prequel to this one, where I get into how I made that decision, but basically what it was is that when we moved to Arizona from Syracuse, New York, in the middle of my senior year of high school, I couldn't find work after graduation. The Forest Service had a big presence in Prescott because Prescott sits in the middle of the Prescott National Forest. And I loved to be outdoors. So I thought, oh, wouldn't it be cool to work for the Forest Service? You know, I get to be outside. You know, what a great job that would be. But that didn't happen. And I couldn't find work. And then my dad ended up in Tucson, Arizona, looking for a job because the one in Prescott wasn't working. And out of desperation, I went with him. I thought, well, certainly I can find a job in Tucson. And I wasn't having much luck because, you know, I'm 17, 18 years old, no experience. But one of his coworkers had a connection with the Forest Service, and they were looking for someone to work in the office up on Mount Lemmon, which is a mountain north of Tucson, in a ranger station. And I got the job. Now, it was an office job, but I was working in a ranger station in the middle of a pine forest, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And I liked that job until I met the Catalina Hotshots, and they were an elite firefighting crew. And I dated a number of them. You know, I was young and single, and I had a wonderful time up there. And I watched what they did, and I listened to their stories, and I thought, that sounds like a job I'd like. And I applied for it and got it. I didn't get it up there. I got it down further south. I was working in the Santa Rita Mountains, south of Tucson. But yeah, it was just one of those things where I thought it was a good fit. And it was. It was exactly what I'd been looking for.
Isn't that incredibly inspirational that you just popped into it, as it were? You were meant to do this job, clearly. And you had no idea that you were breaking barriers for women.
I sure didn't. Not until the end of the summer. The 1976, the Forest Service initiated a program called the federal government. It was called the Federal Women's Program. And all of the women on the district were invited to this big powwow. It was a 4-day event. And I still didn't think, I didn't even know what's the Federal Women's Program, you know, and I had no idea. But when I got there to the meeting, And I'm so fortunate. I kept very detailed journals. So I even have journal entries of how many women attended that meeting. There were 37.
Wow.
And out of the 37 women, only 3 were on a fire crew. And I remember thinking, well, how come there's only 3? And that was when I discovered, oh, because we're some of the first. Oh, my gosh. You know, so... And that was a real eye-opening experience because I found out that what they were teaching us as women working with men is how to deal with the men on the crew who didn't approve of us and how to be assertive, assertiveness training. I had no idea what assertiveness training was, but I learned all about it, you know, how to get what you want.
Was it helpful?
It was helpful. And what was funny, though, is that I didn't think I had a problem. I mean, some of the guys on my crew were chauvinists, and they would make, you know, really snide comments, and they made it hard for me. But the more they did, the harder I worked, and I just, these guys, you know, I can outwork them, you know, any day. So I wasn't worried about it. But it wasn't until further in my career that I would discover that I would be denied jobs for which I was fully qualified. And when you're told to your face by a man that you can't have that job because you're a woman, that really hurt. And that made me furious. And I fought those people, but there was no winning. Because although there were laws that said he couldn't say that to me, there were no witnesses either.
Right. And this is pre-iPhone, pre-social media. Everybody can be recorded in a given moment. This is before all of that takes place.
All that, you know, we're just sitting in his office and he's looking at me telling me, there's no way in the world I'm going to put you on my fire crew. You're a woman.
Those words ring in our ears. And at the same point, I'm hearing Harvey Weinstein with all of his awful, awful, awful sickness out there hurting women and hurting them and hurting them over and over again and getting away with it until the police actually put one young woman there on purpose, and she had a social media recording device, I couldn't tell you which one it was, iPad, iPhone, something, and recorded what he was saying. And then it started to be a compilation process. So we know for sure that as much as everyone wanted women to have equal rights, as much as we were stepping in that direction, the systemic oppression of women is still the day-to-day activity today.
Yes. That's what I'm discovering, you know, because women have made inroads into the Forest Service and in higher management positions. There are women force supervisors now and fire management officers. But on the fire line, it's still the same. Women belong barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen stuff. And women are hearing that today. They contact me and they tell me, you can't believe the stuff I'm hearing. And I'm thinking, I can. I just can't believe that it was that I heard it 30 years ago and you still are.
So tell me, from your experience on the front lines with fires, is there a difference between, say, a young physically fit woman fighting that fire and a young physically fit man, same age, same ethnicity, however you want to make it a so-called equal playing field? Is there a difference? Because there's a lot of demand in fighting fires, is there not?
There is, and it's been proven that women are better at pacing themselves. I mean, the reality is, now, they don't do it. They don't do what we did back then. Back then, we would often be on a fire line for 16 hours straight, if not 24 hours straight.
Oh, my.
Now, they can't do that. You know, you have to take a break. But we would do that. And if you don't pace yourself, you're going to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. And so you never know how long you're going to be on the line. So I learned very quickly how not to burn myself out too fast, because how in the heck was I going to make it through? If I was all burned out in 8 hours, what was I going to do for the next eight? And the guys tended to be real gung-ho, you know, and they would give it their all, and then they're dragging because they've burned themselves out. So I noticed, number one, that they tend to be a little careless with their energy, because we all have a limited amount. I don't care if you're 20 or 30, you know, which is usually about the oldest you are doing that work. But it's also a team effort. We work together for a reason, you know, that some people's strengths, male or female, can be in a different place. There can be men who are better at digging a fire line than one particular woman, but she's better at running the chainsaw. A good crew boss will make sure that each person is fulfilling a particular role on the crew that they do their best at. And then you have an overall crew that's superior. And that was the truth then, and that's the truth now.
Right. So you see absolutely no reason whatsoever. What about having periods? Can you have your period and fight a fire?
Of course you can. I did all the time. Now, you know, I was fortunate that when I was on fires for like 2 or 3 weeks, sometimes my period would just stop because I was working so hard that it would stop until I stopped working. I was like, well, thank you.
Exactly. That's nature. You know, that is nature telling us how to handle this excessive situation. My imagination and sense of humor says, yeah, and then I remember some periods where I would have liked to have had a hose on something. I was just not a very nice person, and I would have hosed down that fire real fast in my imagination, right? Yeah, to take it out on that, right? We know that men, in terms of their energy, tend to hit a wall. Athletes hit the wall. Women don't. And again, I believe it is nature's way of making sure that the babies are taken care of and that we can give birth and keep moving. Now, none of this cessation of your period stopped you in any way from anything else you wanted to do in your life. I haven't asked if you have children or didn't have children or...
No, I never had children. I did marry the person that I went to my very first fire with, but we divorced after 23 years. You know, and it was tough because when I stopped working, he continued. I mean, he still works for the Forest Service now. And, you know, and it wasn't my choice to stop working. That's just what happened. And
what happened then that made you stop? You mentioned an injury earlier.
Yes, it ended my career. And I ended up in college and getting 2 degrees.
Not a bad switch.
Yeah, it was hard for me to let go of that job, but I've always been very driven. And although I don't think so, I mean, I've had friends tell me, you know, what, you persevere more than anyone I know. And I'm thinking, no, I don't, you know. I guess I do, you know. It just takes me a while to get there, to process. And just, but when I make up my mind to do something, when I made up my mind that I could do that job, that's what I did. And I did it for 7 years.
That's a long time to be fighting fires. I have spoken with other fire jumpers at different points. I lived in Boise, Idaho for quite a while. And a lot of firefighters in that range of the world. And what are your degrees in?